Early voting has started in several states across the country, and the final day of voting in the midterm elections is just 3 weeks away. Lots of candidates on the ballots around the country are so-called election deniers. They're pushing former President Trump's big lie that he didn't lose the 2020 election and the false claim that President Joe Biden won because of fraud. There is no evidence of widespread fraud, but there is concern about threats to democracy. This weekend, Republican candidate Governor of Arizona Carrie Lake refused to say she would concede if she loses the election. Here she is with CNN's Dana Bash.
Will you accept the results of your election in November?
I'm going to win the election, and I will accept that result.
If you lose, will you accept that?
I'm going to win the election, and I will accept that result.
The nonpartisan group States United Action has been tracking the number of election deniers running for office, many of whom could end up in charge of running elections if they win. Joanna Lydgate is the group's CEO, and she joins us now. Joanna, good to have you.
Hey, Anthony. Thanks for having me.
So we spoke to you well before the primaries, and back then you found election deniers running for secretaries of state, attorneys general, and governors in a number of states. So bring us up to date. How did those candidates do in the primaries? How many of them are on the ballot this coming November?
That's right. We've been tracking these races for months, and now that we've made it through the primaries and we know who's going to be on the ballot in November, we have a clear picture of the threat level, and it's definitely red. Today, more than half the country has an election denier who'll be running to oversee their elections on the ballot in November. These are people who've spread lies and conspiracy theories about our elections, who've tried to overturn the 2020 election. Some of them were even at the Capitol on January 6th.
Wow. Half the states, you say, have election deniers.
It's actually more than half. So it's 58% of the population living in 29 states.
So explain specifically the concern that you have should these candidates prevail.
That's right, Anthony. We think about elections as national events, but they're run by the states. So your governor, your state attorney general, your secretary of state, these are the people who oversee our elections and protect our votes. And these are the people who stood up to Donald Trump, of course, in 2020 when he tried to overturn the will of the voters. So having an election denier in one of these jobs overseeing elections is like putting an arsonist in charge of the fire department. And if election deniers win these races, they'll be in charge of the 2024 presidential election.
Okay. Three states in particular, I'm looking at Alabama, Arizona, and Michigan, have election deniers running for all three of those constitutional offices, governor, attorney general, and secretary of state. What's going on in those three states? How concerned are you about those states in particular?
This is, of course, a trend that's impacting so many states, including the states that were most critical in 2020, places like Arizona, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, places like Nevada. And it is particularly concerning in the states where there are election deniers running for all three statewide positions, but really, any election denier winning any one of these positions poses a real threat for our democracy. And it really just takes one of those officials refusing to do the right thing, refusing to protect our votes, to throw an election potentially into chaos.
I want to talk about one race in particular, the Republican candidate for Secretary of State in Nevada. This is an important swing state. There's an important Senate race there. The Secretary of State candidate is Jim Marchant. He organized a coalition of candidates across the country who are election deniers so that they could work together. And he spoke at a Trump rally recently and described his view of a fair election. Here's a bit of what he said.
We're going to make sure that you have a fair and transparent election system, because if we do, we are a red state, I guarantee you.
So, Joanna, I mean, I know you don't want to go into the particulars of individual races, but what do you hear in a cut like that? I mean, basically, he's saying if elections are fair, we win.
We know that Americans want a system where the person who gets the most votes is the winner. And that's one example, Anthony, of what we're seeing in so many of these races with candidates refusing to acknowledge the free and fair results from 2020, refusing to acknowledge our fundamental system, which is about we the people, right? It's about we choose who we want to have run our elections and run our country. and the winner wins and the loser concedes. And that's the system we've always had. It's the system we need to preserve. And it's really the system that's at risk in these elections coming up in November.
You said that an election denier winning office is like having an arsonist running the fire department. And I'm noting the Washington Post did a tally. 175 election deniers are running for safe Republican seats. So that means they're likely to win. Joanna, does that sound to you like that we're at risk of having lots of arsonists running fire departments across the country, to extend your metaphor?
Well, the voters are really the backstop here, of course, as they always have been in our system. And of course, there are other checks in our system, Anthony. And we saw those checks in action in 2020. We saw the court step in, pro-Trump judges who certified the results. And we saw so many good election officials on both sides of the aisle do the right thing. So make sure to get out and vote in November. Vote like our democracy depends on it, because it does.
Hmm. What role have the Democrats played in all this? Because in some cases, they actually supported some of these candidates in the primaries in hopes of having an easier win in the general election. Is there a concern that that kind of tactic might backfire in November?
Well, look, at States United, we're really in the business of tracking the races and putting the facts out there. And I think what's important right now is that we support pro-democracy candidates from both parties who will tell the truth about our elections. And we saw that happen in 2020. We had Democratic officials in states like Michigan and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin defending the results against conspiracy theories and baseless lawsuits. And then on the Republican side, we had so many good officials who did the right thing as well, folks like Brad Raffensperger in Georgia.
I'm wondering if you could talk just a little bit about how journalists are covering this issue. Do you have concerns about how this is being handled, or how should journalists cover this to get at the truth without appearing to be making a partisan case?
Well, here's how I think about it, Anthony. You know, in 2020, we saw what amounted to a pressure campaign, right? Trump and his allies traveled the country. They tried to find people who were willing to help them overturn the results. They weren't able to do that. Election officials from both sides of the aisle stood strong. They protected our votes. This time around, the anti-democracy side isn't taking any chances. They have a playbook. And it's actually pretty simple. They're working to change the rules, which is to say the laws that govern our elections. And they're working to change the refs, which is the people who actually run our elections. Why? Because if you change the rules and you change the refs, you have the power to change the results. And so I think what's really important here for voters, for journalists, for the American public, is to really pay attention. It's never been more important to elect good leaders who believe in free and fair elections, good leaders who will make sure to protect our votes now and, of course, in 2024.
So finally, you mentioned that in 2020, a number of election officials, including Republicans like Brad Raffensperger, essentially helped keep those guardrails of democracy in place. With the number of election deniers running now, are you concerned that in 2024, those guardrails could come loose?
Well, this election, these midterms are going to be so critical for our democracy, so critical for what happens in 2024. No matter what issue you care most about, Anthony, it could be inflation, climate, abortion, it doesn't matter. It all comes down to free and fair elections. It all comes down to the idea that the people who govern this country will do and will represent the will of the voters. And so much is at stake as we look ahead to these midterms in November. And of course, we're concerned about the threat level heading into 2024. But the voters have the power here. Get out and vote for your governor, your state attorney general, your secretary of state, and elect people who will protect your freedom to vote.
Joanna Lydgate is CEO of States United Action. They've been tracking the number of election deniers running for office across the country. Joanna, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Anthony.